Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we're joined, as always, by our very own Alex Talish and Jamie Jors of the Packers Lounge. Also joining us as our live blog guest panelist is Patrick Castleberg of Packershow.com. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Who says long snappers only get noticed when they screw up? Not at Cheesehead TV. That's right. Packers long snapper Brett Goode will join us later tonight. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers
orchestrating what would have been the drive in his very early parts of his career, if not for the special team screwing it up at the end.
Jordy Nelson.
What a ridiculous catch.
Frank Zumbo.
With the Zorro Z there in celebration of his sack.
And we got the bad. We got B-Jax.
B-Jax didn't have a whole lot of places to run, but the few cuts that he tried to make were unfortunate.
Run blocking.
Of which there was none.
Tackling on defense.
Of which there was none.
And we got the ugly. We got Mike McCarthy.
Okay, I have to go back on this just because I've placed Mike McCarthy here twice before this season. I think he deserved it then. Looking back at the game, I don't think he deserved it this time. I think I was a little harsh on Mike. Although I will say his defense of not challenging Gonzalez's catch on fourth down is beyond a facepalm. Like there are no words and there are no symbols. And there are no pictures to describe the awfulness
it's
of his
ridiculous.
Explanation
the only,
not challenging that play.
The only thing more ridiculous than that is Brian Billick.
Well, you could just stop right. You could put a period right there, my friend, and you'd be right. But continue, yeah. Please.
Brian Billick is like, oh, they're hurrying up. And then 6 seconds pass.
And then they stand around at the line.
Now, he had the luxury of seeing the one ISO camera, okay, that shows the shot. So,
right.
You know, if you're up in the booth, in the studio. Now, somebody on Twitter, okay?
Oh, dear.
I was like, look, I saw that on... I'm watching on DirecTV Superfan on my computer with my 4G router, right?
Right.
I am not an assistant coach who makes hundreds of thousands of dollars to
right.
be just a little bit ahead. Everybody's like, oh, that's how the stadium is. Right. Oh, right. The TVs are different there, and they're old, and that stadium sucks, and we can't do it.
Do they say it in that voice?
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. And you're like, well, they don't have tech geeks on the pitch. Tell me why you think that, why you think I'm wrong.
Oh, I'll tell you why I think you're wrong. I don't think that Joe Witt, Dom Capers, Winston Moss,
they don't know about
Kevin Green.
They don't know about 4G.
I don't think they're sitting up there thinking, let me produce my clear 4G wireless router here, and I'll whip out my my laptop.
I guess my point is,
I'm just
saying,
they're concentrated on football.
You know what?
With the tools that they're getting.
Bill Belichick is focused on football. Okay? He's focused
maybe
on football.
Maybe a little too much sometimes.
Okay, but maybe he goes too far, but I'd rather go. Okay, you think Lombardi didn't go too far sometimes? He did. You go right up to where you need to go.
There's our first poll question.
He was
of the
one
night.
Of the first people to put film in
he
the game.
He was the first. He wasn't one of the first.
Hello.
He was the first. No,
that's,
I understand
you
that.
You got to be a geek in football.
Well, he was an innovator, and this is a way to innovate. We have to spearhead the movement to introduce the Packers coaching staff to 4G wireless that they can have in the booth at every game, so they get no matter how bad the system is.
And here's the thing,
they can get live shots from Fox or whoever's calling
on an iPad, or even better, like on
whatever
something small.
We
so
need to
like,
geek
oh,
the Packers out so they have the advantage.
I don't understand. And you're like, they have a tech geek system, but where's the guy? Okay,
that's not what I said. Well, I said I'm sure there are tech geeks in the building.
Yeah.
They're not on the coaching staff.
Well, why not though? Like, and why can't why can't the tech geek of the Green Bay Packers, why can't he be like, hey, coach?
Because the last guy who said, hey, coach, got fired.
Yeah, but he was like a groundskeeper.
Yeah, and he said, hey, coach, and he got fired. So, okay, he didn't say, hey, coach, but he said something to coach.
He said something
and he's
bad
not on the football
coach,
staff, he and said, he got fired.
He did say something bad about coach, though. Just
Probably. But, you know, they don't care. You say, hey, coach, and you get fired. That's how it works. If you're not in the football operations, you just shut up. Now we know what we need to do to get the Packers a competitive advantage.
Well, they should have a competitive advantage because they're the best team in the NFL.
Put that on a t-shirt. All right. Tremont Williams.
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me excited.
4-year contract.
Are you kidding me?
I mean,
how long have we been talking about this kid?
For a long. Since the show was in its infancy, only 20 minutes long. Back in 2007.
Man, those are the good days.
You were talking about Tremont Williams then.
That's a lot less Aaron Nagler and Corey Banky, telling you.
I mean, Tom Crabtree is watching A Time to Kill. Let's have everybody tweet Tom Crabtree and tell him to come over to CheeseheadTV.com. Just say hi to the
He'll
title
call,
of the show.
And then I have to get that animation.
No, he doesn't need to call. Just tell him to tweet. Just everyone tweet Tom Crabtree right now. Say, hey, Tom. Come over and watch a little Cheesehead TV before you watch Time to Kill.
What I think is interesting about Tremont Williams' contract is what's the deal with 2013 and 2014?
Well, when they give him a ton more money?
No, it's like all of a sudden he makes like $2 million, and then he makes $300,000.
Well, yeah.
Like that's ever going to happen.
That's the end of the deal, though. That's the end of the
deal. It's like 2 years are like that at the end.
I know. But he's also getting like $20 million up front, so I think he'd be all right.
No, he's getting like six and guaranteed, though.
No. He's getting his base goes up to like 14 something.
Yeah.
And he gets a $6 million.
But like, no matter what happens, he walks away with $6 million.
He's gonna be okay.
He's not hurting. That's good though.
He ain't
because you know what? He plays a very important position on our team.
An incredibly important position.
I have to say, everybody's hating on the Packers. I wasn't disappointed. Like, I was disappointed we lost.
Yeah, of course.
But
naturally.
I watched the. One of the, and look at the NFC. I mean, are you kidding? Mike Tirico was kind of right last night, even though there are five games. The possibility that the NFC West
could
have
produce.
A sub-500 team and probably
win
a team
the division.
Like us, right. who will be ahead and, you know,
and have a winning
depending
record.
On how the Bears go, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of right. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of ball game to be played, but.
A lot of ball game to be played, but you're right. Yeah,
they and the Packers are going to win out, so it won't even matter because you know the Bears aren't going to win out. Come on,
I don't know, man. We'll talk about that later in the show. Other news stuff happening today, and speaking of news stuff, Rob Domofsky was going to join us around now, but unfortunately he can't because of all the breaking news.
He can't do it.
Rob sends his regrets. He will join us when the show amps back up after our annual December break. But in other news, Brandon Chiller, Spencer Havener,
yikes,
to the IR, making a total of 13 on the season. Think about that. There are 13 guys on the injured reserve. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah, they were showing a stat during the game of
of all the guys that are missing, and then all the guys.
And
who
I was like reminded of I was reminded of training camp. And talking about
those guys.
If we lose this, but that won't happen.
Right. Oh, but wait.
It
just
happened.
Did. What's incredible is
and
if you
this
look at,
team, look where it is right now.
Well,
it's not in a bad place.
Adam,
in any
Adam Kaplan,
phase of the game except special teams.
Adam Kaplan pointed out today, you know, it's a real tribute to the coaching staff. And yes, Ted Thompson for providing the depth, but a real tribute to the coaching staff that this team is 7-4, having lost those 13 guys, especially when you look at guys like Nick Barnett, Jermichael Finley, Ryan Grant. These are frontline guys who have gone down, and the Packers are still winning. I mean, that's coaching.
It's huge.
When you've got guys who were in the backfield, in on the bench, and are now playing regularly from scrimmage and playing well. You got to think, speaking of coming up off the bench and playing well, you got to think Desmond Bishop is next in line for a contract extension.
Oh, man.
Now that Williams is done.
That's another guy on our team. How long we've been waiting for this, and it's happening in front of our eyes.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's pretty good. I mean, the run defense, his ability to just be there.
He was the one. It was interesting. Like that whole game. I mean, the tackling was terrible. I mean, across the board. And it was actually the first time I think I mean, going back and watching the game, it's the first time I really saw our defensive line get pushed around all season.
Yeah.
I mean, they really got pushed around.
Although. With a runner like that,
no.
I mean.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, Michael Turner. But that was
tree trunks.
That's the thing, though.
It's like he has tree trunks that are lubricated.
That's disgusting.
I know. It's disgusting, but that's what it looked like because dudes would be going right at him and then just.
Kyle asked an interesting question here on the live blog. What do they do with Hawk next year if Bishop gets an extension? I'll tell you what. I think Hawk will be amiable to coming back at a reduced salary. I know he's got a monster number next year. What I think will be more interesting is what they do with Nick Barnett.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a real question there. And I
Not in a 3-4.
I think there's a real question about them bringing him back. I really do. He's been hurt like two out of three last 3 years. And the play of the defense and of that position went noticeably up when Bishop got in there.
Dude, why if they really believe that, then why would they keep Justin Harrell around? Okay.
That's a good point.
I mean, they're going to keep him. It's not the same situation like it was with Al Harris because it's not you only need two really good. I mean, you need three really good cornerbacks. But you need a lot more linebackers.
And a 3-4, that's true. I don't know. There'll be some interesting decisions to be made in the offseason, without a question. The other, obviously, the one name we haven't mentioned.
Everybody thinks you're right, by the way, on the live blog, but that wouldn't be the first time either.
Well, the other interesting name, though, to think about it, is in the line of people who want a contract extension is Colin Jenkins.
Mm.
And there was a report earlier this year that he was upset and not happy that he hadn't been extended or even approached. And now you think. Now that he's seen Tremont get just buku bucks, that he's either A, you're not going to be happy again, or B, is going to go, excuse me, now is it my turn? And I got to say, I don't think the Packers are going to do it. I think the Packers will let him go, test the market, and if he wants to come back at a Packer-friendly rate, they will let him, obviously, because he's got value. But I think Mike Neal is there specifically to replace Colin Jenkins.
Yeah.
And
it showed, I mean, you know, there's. Yeah, I mean, Colin Jenkins isn't the same player he was.
Well, and he's been hurt. He's had the cast on, and I understand that, you know. But even once he's had it off, he played well on Sunday. But he didn't.
Oh yeah, do you franchise him?
I don't see. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
He's kind of in that gray area. He's kind of in that area.
No. The problem is we don't know what the.
Well, yeah. What's the highest you pay in an uncapped year?
Well, no, but that's what's this year. Next year, there's most likely going to be a cap, but that's the other problem. We don't know. We don't know what the franchise tags will look like. We don't know if there will be a transition tag.
And how much it is.
We don't know what the CBA will look like. I mean, all that stuff is up in the air. So, and that's part of the problem with signing guys. That's why you see them dumping so much cash into 2010. But that's neither here nor there. That's stuff for the future. Getting back to the Falcons game, take a look at the offense and take a look at the play of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. I mean, this was the first time. And McCarthy
said it. That's the
quarterback
we want.
And McCarthy said it. And this was, and he knew exactly what he was saying when he said it at his press conference on Monday. He said that is the best that he's seen the position played since he came to Green Bay. And we all know who Mike worked with before he was working with Aaron Rodgers.
I just don't know how you can. I don't know how you can do it. And there's so much he.
What I loved. What I loved.
There was it was clinical. I mean, although he did.
Well, he had the mistake. He made the big mistake. He had the fumble, and that was the difference
in
the game.
And he audibled
to the third and two.
Yeah, with a quarterback sneak.
To the first quarterback sneak. Right.
That's not McCarthy. That's Rodgers.
No, that's Rodgers. And
that's a terrible call. I'm sorry. McCarthy said he made the right call there, but seriously.
But if you look at the play,
McCarthy says it's all about execution on that play.
Well, it is on that play. You think
I agree with that.
It worked in Miami.
It's not just.
It worked in Green Bay against Miami. And the alignments are similar.
Exactly. So it's on tape, which is another reason not to use it.
No, but here's the thing. Okay. Even though it's on tape, the defense is on that play is totally spread out.
Yeah, no. I know. I watched it in the press conference today.
Darren College gets his butt kicked.
Oh, Darren College? Darren College?
Darren College has just an absolutely terrible play on that play.
That surprises me.
And that's what happened.
That surprises me that Darren College has a bad play.
He's had a good year. He had a bad game on Sunday.
He really did. That penalty.
The false start.
Yikes.
So he had a rough day on Sunday. But you know what? I am now going to name the offensive lineman who didn't have a rough day on Sunday.
Okay.
Now we've listed all the offensive linemen who didn't have a rough day on Sunday. But that was it. I mean, it was, yeah, he had the one big mistake, and it was the difference in the game. Now, I just want to make something clear, because someone on the blog accused me of saying that Rodgers lost them the game, or cost them the game. There's a difference between saying that Rodgers lost the game.
He didn't lose the game.
He did not lose the game.
Nope.
And saying that his fumble was the difference in the game, which it was.
Yeah, it was.
So, I just want to make that distinction clear. Rodgers was amazing. He had an amazing game. His use of the no huddle, that's the most extensive use of the no huddle we've seen mm-hmm. since McCarthy's been coach.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, he looked like a young Peyton Manning. He did. Well, he looked amazing.
He finally is getting that groove where he can play conservative like 80% of the time and get what he needs.
Yep.
I mean, how many times do we get 5, 6, 7
yards?
And
then find the matchup down the
yep.
field.
He sees one-on-one, boom. That
to Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson. Are you kidding me?
Jordy had himself a game.
That was come on. That was amazing. And the fourth quarter drive. I mean,
that was incredible. A 90-yard drive.
This is what we want. This is what we've been waiting for. We have not seen what happened against an NFC caliber.
Best team in the NFC.
The best in the NFC.
Yeah, absolutely. 90 yards.
Going against them.
For the...
No, let me drive down the field
the tying
real quick.
Touchdown.
Oh, yeah, it's the fourth quarter.
Now, here's a question.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that much time.
Here's a question.
It's all good. I got it.
I got this for you. Jersey Al's been pounding on this on Twitter all day. Let me ask you this, Corey. Do you think the Packers scored too soon?
No. I'm not one of those people that, especially with our running game yesterday. I mean, hey, did anybody look how many attempts Brandon Jackson got?
It was a classic transplants moment.
10 attempts. Okay.
Corey's playing sick today, so otherwise he'd be replicating his 10 attempts.
When your number one running back gets 10 attempts, even in this offense, okay?
I hear you.
Even in this offense, what is happening? And where's the blocking?
Well, that's why there are only 10 attempts, because the blocking's non-existent.
Well, then throw some stuff. Like, there's not enough flats to Jackson. The guy,
I agree with that.
There's not enough. He doesn't get the ball enough. Okay, you could use that guy just like Arizona just played San Francisco. Just like San Francisco uses Bryant Westbrook.
I agree.
That's the West Coast offense. Yep. I mean,
I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. But that's the thing, though. It's like, people want to say that a better back will make a difference, and possibly, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, if you have a Barry Sanders back there or an Adrian Peterson, yeah, you're going to do a little better. But even those guys, even elite backs, are not going to get you much when they're being hit 2 or 3 yards in the backfield.
Yeah, as soon as there's penetration.
The second they have a handoff. I mean,
and to your point, that's the only way you can control the clock in the fourth quarter.
Is with a running game.
If you have a running game. And you're running the ball. Right. Otherwise, what are you doing?
But I think what Al would counter with that is, and I, you know, Al, I got to say, I kind of agree with you, and I was right there with you during the game thinking, and Al, I know you're going to hate to hear this, but I thought of myself playing Madden when I play somebody online who has walked up and down on me all game. You know, don't leave him any time to score. So, yeah, around the 30-yard line, 3 minutes left, you, even though the running game's not going anywhere, slow down, call a running play, milk the clock, and then because you've got to score that touchdown anyway. A field goal does you no good.
I hear you, but...
And you're not going to get the ball back, so...
I hear you, but in that situation...
So I'm just saying, get down to the do or die with like 10 seconds left, rather than do or die with a minute left and leave them time to possibly win the game.
I hear you.
So, Al, I'm kind of on board with that. I think it's easy to say
I think it's easy to say, and it's hard to execute. And the way you run an offense, okay, you run an offense dictating based... Like, there's some plays where they might lend themselves to you going out of bounds, you know?
Right,
because that's how you have the slant. You have the outside. You don't have the inside. So now, if you're letting time dictate, it's all about time, you're not focusing on
what
the
you
prize,
do well.
Okay?
What you do well.
And the prize.
No, right.
And the prize and how you get there. Because you limit your options from an offensive strategy standpoint,
you do.
And if you can't, if you limit your offense and then you don't score a touchdown.
Right. Yeah, but that's
just my point.
But I think
it would be nice to have your cake and eat it too. But you know what? You can't go to McDonald's every day of the week and expect to be skinny, okay?
I don't know what that means, but I love it. I love it. No, but you know, you basically run a give up play where you run it on first down and the clock runs and you let it go. And then, you know, you probably have Atlanta using their timeouts. So I don't think they had many timeouts at the end there.
There you
anyway.
Go.
They had two when the drive started anyway.
That sounds so smart, though.
And that was what I was going to say. Wait a second. It's easy when we're sitting at home watching the game, as involved as we get, as into it as we are, it's easy for us to make these determinations from our sofa, from our couch, from our seat, or in front of our computer, wherever we are. It's easy to make those decisions and say they should do this or they shouldn't do that. When you're down on the sideline and you're driving 90 yards in the heat of the battle, I'm totally fine with McCarthy and Rodgers, you know, going for the gusto and going for the touchdown. That I totally get.
I hear you.
So, you know, but I understand. I understand both sides of the
argument. No, I do too. I just was trying to take the other side because I knew you'd take Jersey Al's side on that one.
I'm not doing well. I just understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, totally.
And he wrote a great blog post about it. If you haven't checked it out, check out Jersey Al's blog. If Brian could throw it up on the Alive blog, that'd be fantastic.
CD wants you to comment about us using the lateral play at the end or versus the Hail Mary and trying to get the interference call.
Well, it was pretty far away, wasn't it? I mean, it was after... I mean, Shields had the personal foul on the supposed face mask or whatever it was on the stiff arm, and then they got a little yardage, and then they had to run the Stanford band play. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think... I mean, I know Rodgers can throw it a mile, but...
The problem is no referee in the right mind is going to call interference on the last play of the game.
That's probably true. We've seen weirder. I mean, look at the Jacksonville game a couple weeks ago where they got the touchdown of the crazy Karen.
Look at the refereeing in any NFL game.
Oh, let's not do that. I don't want to get my blood pressure up.
I mean, seriously.
I don't want to talk about it. I really don't want to talk about it.
Why?
I feel like if we talk about it, Goodell will come right through the door and find us.
Why are we subjected to Brian Billick and bad refereeing? That's... Why? Do we deserve this fate?
$8 billion industry, and they can't get full-time employees to adjudicate their games. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man, because they don't want them unions jumping in.
They're already having enough trouble with one union.
Yeah, right?
I'd just like to say nice hat, Aaron. Thank you very much.
He wore that just for you.
This is old school. This is like... how Packer transplants used to be before it lost its soul.
Back in the day. Back before you sold
out. Before we had fancy guests and things like that.
Back before you sold out.
I did sell out.
How's that Packer song coming?
It's coming great. Coming great. Not ready to reveal it yet today, but Corey heard it for the first time tonight, and he's very excited.
Oh, man. That kind of made my day today.
Oh, I'm glad.
Seeing Aaron as a sellout is very exciting.
Sold out, baby. I'm ready. I'm ready to make some money. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to sell this song to the Packers. They're going to play it at Lambeau with Cheesehead TV. Nothing but Cheesehead TV on the Jumbotron.
And all the LEDs. Around.
That's it. That's what's going to happen. I saw it. It was in a vision. It was like, you know, Moses was spoken to. That was it. Someone came and spoke to me.
Oh, man.
I think it was the voice of Jeff Blum who came down and said, Aaron, make a Packers song. And I made a Packers song. And there it was.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
Let's talk about Big Five real quick.
The return of Big Five.
And let's talk about Brett Swain making his mark.
How great was this kid on Sunday? After the game, you know, you're kind of bummed. And I just had this brief thought of, wow, you know, Brett Swain had a great game. Not just the fact that he caught a couple balls, but, like, he was involved in the run blocking.
Yep.
He was great.
Did you say run blocking?
Yeah, well, yeah, down the field. He was actually trying to make something happen. Poor guy. But that slant play that he took for 31 yards was ridiculous. And it was great to see the Big Five back together again. I mean, after it's being put in mothballs after the 2007 season and the emergence of JerMichael Finley.
Yep.
I'm surprised they didn't go to it earlier. But as is always the case, they like to see guys, you know, week in and week out at practice before they put them on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to think they were looking at Brett Swain going, are we ready for him in Big Five? We ready for all that? Do we trust him enough?
Uh-huh.
Apparently now, you gotta.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers trusts him even more importantly.
Threw it to him two times. Well, speaking of the emergence, we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, probably in the third segment after we talk to Brett. But play a little McCarthy clip.
Okay.
You know who's coming, people. Get ready for this.
Come up.
Well, it better be. You may have an opportunity this week.
Now listen to the question again. We're going to let this loop.
Stark's ready to come up.
Well, it better be. You may have an opportunity this week.
I love it. That's the entire answer. And that was the first
Stark's ready
question
to come up.
Of the press conference.
Well, it better be. You may have an opportunity.
And then McCarthy just says,
he better be.
He better be. May have an opportunity. And then he just stares. Like, that's it. That's my answer. That's it. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. James Starks is coming. Maybe. If Nance doesn't check out through the concussion.
Everybody's
stuff.
So excited about that.
I know.
It's so weird.
It is kind of weird since we've never seen the guy take a snap in an NFL game. But 2 years ago, he looked really good in some YouTube highlights.
Oh, man. Thank God for YouTube.
I don't know. I'm just interested to see what the kid can do.
Speaking of YouTube, what about that video you made of Wildy?
Yeah.
That got some traction today.
Got some play.
How crazy is that?
ESPN Madison, Milwaukee threw it up on their,
it's on their
Facebook
site.
And their Twitter and man. All this stuff. Crazy. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's kind of fun. I'm just poking fun at Jason Wilde.
Wilde's Mailbox 2020, right?
Some good stuff.
I think it's funny the commenters on there. They think it's like serious. They don't understand parody of a...
I think the one guy... I think he was kidding. He was like, tell your family to shut up. I can't hear the question.
Oh, man.
That was kind of the point. Say that Jason's family is growing, and soon he won't be able to do those.
That's right.
Nice slow fade there. That was great.
Nah, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good online, though.
No, it doesn't?
No.
But it looks great in the studio, and that's all we care about.
Yep.
Is what it looks like for us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're ready to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk to long snapper Brett Gude live here at Packer Transplants. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with Brett. And forgive me, there has been ample discussion and consternation about how to pronounce your last name, Brett. If you could pronounce it for me, just so I don't screw it up.
It's pronounced Gude.
There you go.
That's
there you go.
Nice.
Just making sure, because, you know, we looked at the pronunciation guide there on Packers.com, and it wasn't a whole lot of help. So I didn't want to totally butcher it the first time you were on the show. So thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
Oh, absolutely. It's all right. I go by anything. Everybody calls me whatever, so I kind of just answer.
Fantastic.
Nice.
So here you are in the midst of a 7-4 season. You've been you with the Packers now a couple seasons as the long snapper. But let's go back to the beginning. And you know, you're born in Texas, I believe, in a small town there. What was the name of the town?
Pampa, Texas.
And what was growing up in Pampa like?
I actually didn't grow up in Pampa. I was born in Pampa. I didn't stay there very long. I actually moved to Memphis, Tennessee for a little less than a year. Right. And then went to Fort Smith, Arkansas, where I've pretty much been raised my whole life. And it's nice. It's a small town, small community, kind of a lot like Green Bay, where a lot of little different towns make up one big city. And, you know, it's a little big city. Everybody knows everything. But it's also a nice city that, you know, anything that you need, you can get done. But it's not, you know, you don't have to fight the traffic of the big cities.
And, you know, I know you went to college at Arkansas. And then coming out of college, you were undrafted but went to Jacksonville. When you went to Jacksonville, was what was the process like as far as coming out of college, making the adjustment to the pros? You know, I mean, I can't imagine being thrown into the mix there in the professional world. Did you gravitate to guys automatically? Like, did you find friends on the team right away? Or is there a lot of, like, this guy wasn't drafted, I don't know how long he'll be around kind of thing? Or what? Just talk a little bit about your experience in Jacksonville.
I think it's similar everywhere. I've looked at it a lot here with the guys coming in, too. You know, when you're first coming in, you kind of build a bond with the guys that you're coming in with. You know, everybody's kind of in the same boat. You know, you got your draft picks and you're undrafted. You know, there's a numerous amount of guys that are there. When I came in, I was actually in with a punter that they just drafted, and I was roommates with him the whole time I was there. And so, you know, just by association, we kind of became close friends because, you know, we were kind of planning on working together, and it didn't work out for me, and he stayed there. And then I actually went back the second time, and the second time around, you know, I knew a lot of the guys on the team, and so it wasn't, you know, I didn't have a problem making any friends or having a place to go hanging out every now and then. And the second time around there.
And then when you left Jacksonville and you were signed by the Packers, and I know you were signed as a replacement for J.J. Jansen, and you've kind of been, you know, you've been locking that spot down ever since. You know, have you ever thought about you know, what might have happened if the Packers hadn't called, if what else you might have been doing?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Whenever they called, you know, I was working construction, and I was going back to finish my degree, and I was, you know, I thought that it was almost done. You know, my agent had told me leading up that it might take a few years, and you know, I was prepared to do that, but I was also going to, you know, live my life and start working on, you know, what I was going to do, you know, outside of football in my career, which I was going to school to be a coach and a teacher at the high school level. And so I was planning on doing that, and before I even got started back in school, the Packers called me to come up here for a workout, and I came up here, and the rest is history.
Who was at your workout?
It was me, a guy named Jared, I forgot his last name, and another guy. There was three of us here. We flew in. I got in about almost 1 o'clock the night before, and woke up They woke me up at 6:30 to go do physicals, and then we worked out, and then they told me that afternoon that they were going to sign me, and so I stuck around and met with all special teams coaches and kind of went over the game plan, kind of got adjusted to what we were doing, because they knew that we were jumping right into the regular season. They knew we weren't going to go through any training camp or preseason games, and we were just trying to get ready for that Monday night football game against Minnesota.
And then, so I got to ask about being a long snapper, because I guess I've heard it takes a special kind of mentality. I mean, you spend a lot of time, obviously, with the specialists, but at the same time, you're doing some real football stuff. You know, you're snapping that ball, you're blocking guys, and then you're also on kick coverage, you're running down there and making tackles. So talk to us a little bit about the dichotomy of the physical stuff you do on the line, and then the stuff you do where you're snapping the ball repeatedly, ad nauseum, as it were, working with the kickers.
Well, with the kickers, it's all about rhythm and timing, especially on field goal. It's trying to get the laces out for the field goal so the holder doesn't have to spin the ball so everything can get off. We're trying to get the kickoff on a field goal in under 1.3 seconds, and it's usually right around between 1-2 and 1-2-5. The punt's pretty similar. It's trying to give them a good snap in a good location with good velocity and a good spiral, especially with the weather games that we go through. So he can get in his rhythm and be able to punt the ball. And then, with the blocking aspect of it, punt we go through weekly, and we have to go over all the adjustments. Teams, generally run a certain scheme each week, and they make a new scheme each week. So you kind of got to be ready for anything. But, it's a snap, and once the ball is loose, I got to be ready to block, because once it's out of my hands, there's nothing I can do about it. I got to be able to block, and so we got a 2 second clock that block for 2 seconds and try and shed that man, and then run down the field between 40 and 50 yards and try and make a tackle. Field goal, the blocking on it. They made the new rule that you can't line up directly over the snapper, which I think that gives a little bit more of an angle of a shot for the bigger guys to run through. So basically, you're a sitting duck for guys to push on you, and it's usually by the end of the play there's about 800 pounds being pushed up against you, and you're trying to hold your own.
I can't even imagine. What did you think, speaking of the new rules and the rules to protect the snappers such as yourself, what did you think of the call in the Miami game when they got you guys for the call on the punt where he was or the kick where he was lined up over the snapper? Did it look to you that he was like a yard and a half off? I mean, what did you think of that? I mean, as someone who that rule was put in there to protect people like yourself, but at the same time, it came back to bite your team.
I think it's a judgment call. I think it could have definitely went either way. We've had it against us numerous times, and I've seen on film a lot of other teams have had the same thing, and so I think it's just a judgment call, on what the officiating crew wants to call that day. And we were unfortunate on the end of that, and it hurt us in the game. But it's one of those things where you can't fault the guy. He's lined up where we told him to line up, and since that incident, we haven't been really lining up there. We kind of just backed off and trying to do a different scheme now and trying to adjust to it.
What do you think? I mean, a lot is made out of Sean Slocum's up and down tenure as special teams coach, and obviously you obviously work with the guy. He coordinates your area. A lot is talked about as far as like the number of people you guys have had put on injured reserve or had come in and out of the lineup. What's he like day in and day out, and what's he like to work with as a coach?
He's always ready to work. I think he's always got a good scheme for us. At the end of the day, the player's got to play. We can say whatever about him, but at the end of the day, it's on us. We've got to come to work, and we've got to perform the scheme that he wants us to perform. And when we're not performing, it shows up on film, and that's what everybody sees. I think he's very knowledgeable of the game. I think he's got a lot of good schemes for us. And I think, just from my time here with him, he's definitely grown. I think he's gotten better as a coach as he's gotten, more years experience just being the head guy. I know he's been an assistant for a lot of years, but just being in total control, just from this year, from last year, it's night and day different how much better, our meetings are, the practices go. I think the guys are starting to buy into the system, but, the injuries, we can make all the excuses we want to make, but, at the end of the day, everybody's getting paid to play, and we've got to go out there and do better.
Well, I couldn't. We couldn't be more thrilled to have you on. We won't take up too much more of your time, but I did want to ask. I read in your bio that you play guitar. How long have you been playing guitar? I mean, I always find it interesting when guys have a musical aspect to their background.
I've been working on it for about 3 years now. I've always, kind of twerked with it throughout the years. I've owned quite a few guitars, just on the pawn shops, and then sold about a half year later because I didn't ever really take interest into it. But I've got into it for about 3 years now, and I've got about 30 songs that I can play.
There you go.
I've actually played a little small gig in back home in Arkansas, and another guy wants me to come do one there next time I'm home. So it's fun. It's one of those things that you can kind of take your mind off of everything, and it always gives you a challenge because there's always something else that you can learn. There's always, it's a moving process, kind of like football. With our sport and the way the game evolves and changes all the time, you got to be ready to change with it and move forward. And I think that's why I like it the most, is just because I can do that. And hopefully one day it might even give me a date. You never know.
There you go.
Well, hey, if nothing else, Rogers is starting his record label. So
yeah.
There you go. Get your demos ready now.
Well, me and him actually we've been playing quite a bit together, and we were roommates in training camp, and we played the guitar just about every night. And so we were actually talking the other day, maybe starting to try and write a song.
Oh,
together, the two
snap.
Of you?
Do what?
The two of you write a song together?
Yeah.
Oh, that's uh-oh. Awesome.
That's on. That'd
that is
be awesome.
Excellent. All right. Well, we hope to someday hear the original Goo / Rogers composition. Hey, do us a big favor from Cheesehead TV. Next time you talk to Aaron, ask him two questions. Number one, why did he stop tweeting? And number two, what's with not giving Cheesehead TV any love? How come he never comes on the show? Anyway, that's all we got to ask him.
All right, I'll ask you.
The number one thing people ask us is why did he stop tweeting? So, his public, his fans, they want to know.
Yeah, I don't know why he stopped tweeting. I know he made a comment a long time ago that he only tweets in the off season. I know he's got a lot on his plate, and to be honest, I'm kind of glad he's not. I know his mind's focused
there
on football.
Go.
And
there you go.
Trying to let the fans know. I know it's a fan sport, but. He's also got to do his job, and so it just shows that how dedicated he is with taking care of all that and doing his charitable donations that he's involved in.
And why aren't you tweeting? Why don't we have like Be Good 20 whatever it is like on Twitter? What's going on there?
I don't know. I've never tweeted. I've looked at it one time and I thought about it and I never got on. I do have a Facebook account, but I hardly ever get on it. I only really get on there to kind of talk to a couple of friends from back home. I don't accept people that that I don't know, so it's kind of a little personal thing for me. So I try and keep it kind of low key. The famous line is, if you don't know the snapper, it means he's doing his job.
There you go. That's how we led the show. We said, we are the only people who talk about the long snapper when he's doing well. So we're thrilled to have you on.
Yes.
Thanks so much for stopping by. You're welcome back anytime, and good luck for the rest of the season.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Brett Goode, live here at Packer Transplants, Cheesehead TV. It's how we roll.
That was a good interview.
It was great. I love the guitar. I just saw the guitar thing. And I thought that was great.
And never would have found out about the Aaron Rodgers collaboration.
Collaboration?
Interesting.
Indeed. Looking forward to that. Come on now. That'll put my song to shame.
Wait, what's it? Well, no, maybe you need to submit your song to Aaron Rodgers' record label. Maybe Cheesehead TV needs to go through the Aaron Rodgers record label.
No, I don't think so.
Why not? Why couldn't we be repped by Aaron Rodgers' record label?
We totally could be, but no.
It would be cool.
It's not going to happen.
I'm just saying.
You are just saying.
Yes, I am.
He was a cool guy. That's just hard. I can't imagine standing in there, snapping the ball with my head down and just getting like 800 pounds of force. Mm. Shoved on top of me.
And I mean, I wanted to ask him, how many times do you think you've long snapped the ball?
A couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Man.
All right. Well, speaking of long snapping.
Yeah.
Special teams.
Yes.
You know what that means?
I know what it means.
How about that for a segue? I'm going to miss the Skype sound.
Let's see.
I'm going to miss it.
Let's see if he's
awake. Hello.
Brian Carrico.
Brian.
How are you tonight, Brian?
Fantastic.
You always sound it, too. That's the thing. You're always so excited
like,
to be.
Fantastic.
So excited to be on the big show.
I'm bored out of my mind.
How are you tonight? What are you... Look at that. You get a little better lighting, a little better decorations. I like it.
Very good. Nice. We get it.
Very nice. So, Brian, there was a caller in the post-game show who definitely laid down some wisdom that you took, saying that if it wasn't for the four losses, the Packers would be undefeated.
It's the truth.
That's absolutely true. Got to say, that's probably one of the best comments of the year. That's up there with, I got one word for you, Dallas, Texas Super Bowl. That's just, I mean, that's just great. If it wasn't for the four losses, we'd be undefeated. So how are you tonight, Brian? How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Just enjoying the show. Enjoyed the Brett Good interview and good stuff.
He's a good guy. Okay, so talk to me about special teams. Talk to me about the calamity that was the final coverage unit. What do you think happened there?
It's not as bad as I think people make it out to be. We've spoke about it before, about Matt Wilhelm and his penalty there. He probably would have gone even further, probably would have gotten an extra 15 yards had Wilhelm not taken him down at all. You know, I suppose you can argue that he shouldn't have gotten that far to begin with. But hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, but don't you think I think he has a clear lane if Wilhelm doesn't pull him down. I think he's gone.
It's very possible. I mean, we can't predict the future, but there's that possibility, that's for sure.
So you didn't have a problem with Crosby's kickoff? Because I know some people have been complaining about the kick not being deep enough.
You know, Crosby had kicked... fairly well that game too, fairly deep,
right?
Which is interesting. I mean, he coming into Sunday, I believe he only had one touchback all season long, and that was on a 5-yard penalty that put him even closer to the end zone. Right. But all of a sudden he gets into a domed environment and he can put him back there a little bit without any other extraneous conditions. And that one he decides not to, or maybe it's not his decision, the special teams coach decision. But I suppose you kick it deep, seeing as you have that ability.
But that's the thing. Didn't he used to be able to like knock one out of the end zone in a dome? Didn't he used to be able to? I seem to recall him being able to consistently put it in the back of the end zone. Am I imagining that?
Probably.
It hasn't happened much in the pros.
Right.
You know,
I
think people talk about his college career a lot, especially when he kicked in the thin air of Colorado. Mm-hmm. So it's happened certainly less since he's become a professional.
Well, we got Brandon Chiller and Spencer Havener both getting injured on the same kickoff coverage on the IR. We got Francois being promoted back up. And who knows what they're going to do with the other slot there that's available to them. What do you think? What do you think the prospects are against the 49ers? Are they going to kick away to Ted Ginn? He looked dangerous last night.
Perhaps. Yeah. I think they'll probably do a lot of the same things they did against like a Percy Harvin, trying to just mixing it up. You know, a deep one here, pin him on the sideline there, and then a little pop up, and probably mix it up on him as far as the personnel. I don't see Francois even being active, but a guy they might get a boost from is Anthony Smith. The safety could be back and he'll help things out.
Right, that's right. I forgot he was injured along with Tari Bigby
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago. All right, it's that time, Brian. It's that time. It's the time of the night where we like to ask you what is going to happen on Sunday. And just remember, you know, this is the last show for a while, so you can say whatever you want without fear of retribution from Mr. Banky.
He has no fear. Brian has no fear.
The Packers get it done. I mean, the 49ers are a team that has their problems. They have all season long. The Packers might struggle a little bit, I think, but I think they get it done. We'll say, get it done by a touchdown or so.
There
7 points.
Get her done. I like it.
A little bit less, but...
I like it.
But yeah, so...
Okay, I'll
take
that.
As far as long-range predictions, I see him making the playoffs, so probably won't talk again until that time. But
Throwing it down, yeah. You think they make the playoffs?
Of course they
make the playoffs. Yeah, I think they win this week, and then I definitely think they go to Detroit and win, and a little 2-game winning streak, and they'll give them some momentum heading into New England. So never know what will happen from there. But
all righty.
There you go.
I like it.
I like it, too.
I like the W's. All right, Brian, thanks a lot. Thanks for all your work, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Have a good night. I'm asking Brian if they're going to make the playoffs, and Corey's like, they're going to make the playoffs.
I'm just saying.
So indignant.
I don't like your attitude, Nagler.
Oh, well, what else is new?
I don't like your...
You and no one else.
So many people love you.
Oh, my God. And so many people hate me.
Yeah, I love
it. We've got the emails to prove it.
Those people excite me.
Well, they should.
Oh, man. Is it time to take a break right now?
Almost. But I wanted to address one quick thing here.
Okay.
One very, very minor, very quick thing. As Corey Pankey leaves me in the lurch. No. One thing I did want to say about special teams is I was looking at, I was reading Pat Kerwin's newish book called Take Your Eye Off the Ball, and in it he talks about special teams meetings the night before the game at the team hotel, and he talks about how you have your room full of all the guys on special teams, and what they do is they go through, you know, they yell out like kick coverage one, and all the guys on the first team kick coverage are supposed to stand up, and then the special team captain counts to make sure there are 11 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go kick coverage two, and then all the guys on the second team are supposed, and so on and so forth through the three teams. And then they start mixing and matching. They say, okay, if Jones goes down, Smith has to be in, and then Smith has to remember that.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking the Packers don't do that.
What?
I'm thinking this is like Pat Kerwin talking about how this is standard operating procedure and all his teams do it. I'm starting to think the Packers don't do that. I don't know. It's totally just a hunch and a guess on my part, but I just don't think they do. I probably should have asked Brett Good, but yeah. I didn't want to put him on the spot.
He would have known.
Now, he would have known, but I didn't want to put him on the spot. And it was nice of him, by the way, to defend his coach, which he certainly did.
You got
to
do that. Let me tell you what. His interview with us was way better than my interview with the Green Bay Press Gazette. Let me just tell you that right now. Yikes.
Corey was called by the Green Bay Press Gazette.
I'm worried about some of the things I said to the Press Gazette.
Corey might have been a little too honest with the Green Bay Press Gazette.
I don't think Aunt Gert's going to want to see what I had to say.
Oh, dear. Okay, one other thing before we go to break, because we've got about 2-3 minutes. Really quickly. I'm getting back to the Gonzalez non-challenge from McCarthy. If you are a reader of Football Outsiders, which I most certainly am, you will be familiar with a feature they have called Audibles at the Line.
Yeah.
Which is essentially them compiling emails they send each other during football games. Like, they all watch games on Sunday, obviously, and they send each other emails about them. And they respond to each other throughout each game. And at one point, I think it was Ned Macy, but I can't remember exactly who it was. This is his email. Because he talks about the Falcons hurrying up after the play, but then standing around at the line and not hurrying up. And he jokingly says, are they trying to psych McCarthy out? Like, to make him not challenge an obvious non-catch? Okay, so you laugh at that. That's kind of funny. Ha, ha, ha. Then on Monday, McCarthy specifically says in his press conference, well, they hurried up the line, but then they didn't really hurry up, so I thought there was nothing to challenge. The word facepalm does not even begin to cover that.
Yeah, but you're like assuming that the other team, that the Atlanta Falcons are so smart that that's what they did to
trick
McCarthy.
No, I don't. The Atlanta Falcons' intention has nothing to do with it. It's what McCarthy saw. He saw them get up to the line quick and then not hurry up, and he was like, oh, I don't need a challenge. And the fact that someone joked about it and then it turned out to be reality is even worse. That's all I got to say about that.
Are you sure?
I'm done. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll talk about something with somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with ourselves. How are you tonight, Corey?
Live on the line, Corey.
Corey Behnke.
How's it going?
So, I guess I would say a big game coming up against the 49ers, except it's not a big game against the 49ers. It's a game against the 49ers that we have to win. And the Packers should win.
Yeah.
But anything can happen.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
On any given Sunday, as well we know. Interesting, we talked about Brian Westbrook before, who did look fantastic last night. I don't think he'll look as fantastic on Sunday against the Packers. Although it was interesting that the Packers, you know, inquired about Brian Westbrook this past offseason.
Yes.
But
for good reason.
Well, you got to think, it would have been nice to have a little Westbrook back there.
Oh, man.
On third down.
That would just change.
Taking some screen passes.
That would change the whole tenor of the offense.
And he looked, and it's all about opportunity. Westbrook has been sitting on the bench all year, hasn't been used a whole lot. And then last night, guy looked fresh, can say that.
There you go.
So the linebackers are going to have to be ready. The defensive line is going to have to be stout. And they're just going to have to be careful. I think what's interesting is that last year, they did a really good job against the 49ers when the 49ers were in their base offense. Where they struggled against the 49ers, and this was after Al Harris went out, but even before Al Harris went out, they struggled when the 49ers spread them out and started like running plays from the shotgun, running a spread formations, running a lot of stuff that Alex Smith did in college. Now, Alex Smith isn't quarterbacking anymore. Troy Smith is. But they still have Vernon Davis. And I'll be very interested to see if Dom uses Charles Woodson exclusively on Vernon Davis, like he did to start the game last year. And what I never understood is that he took Charles Woodson off of Vernon Davis last year, and as soon as he did, like he put Hawk on him, burned.
Mm.
Put Jarrett Bush on him, burned.
Mm.
Put Nick Collins on him, burned.
Oh, Jarrett Bush.
I mean, just leave Charles Woodson on him. That's all you have to do. Now, I recognize that, you know, Crabtree is a danger out there.
Yeah.
You know, I recognize Westbrook's in the backfield. But Vernon Davis is their, you know, they're definitely their most talented offensive player. They need to make sure Charles Woodson is on him. And Tremont will handle Crabtree on the outside.
Yeah.
Make sure you got Woodson on Davis.
Let's just talk about, I remember something I wanted to talk about.
Oh, please do.
You brought up Jarrett Bush, okay?
I said his name.
Nothing.
Getting burned.
Nothing can make me more excited when I'm a little under the weather than talking about Jarrett Bush on special teams. And you know what? Everybody on the live blog is like, it was only 5 yards. It's not that big of a penalty. Okay. I thought about this in the shower. I thought about this. I've been thinking about this for a while. And you know when you think about something in the shower?
You know it's deep.
It's serious,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Because you got nothing else to think about, and that's what you choose, right? Here's my problem. Okay. And this is why I was thinking about
Wait on me.
Because I was at the second coldest game.
Yes, you were.
The biggest game in Jarrett Bush's career, okay?
Yep.
Ever in the history of that kid's career.
Yep.
And his failure,
yep.
His ultimate failure, failure as a special teams player, which is one of three phases of football, to drop onto the ball, to know that all he has to do is to just put his body onto the ball, the game is over. Okay? So wouldn't you think, if you did that, and you just made the biggest blunder of your career that every Packer fan knows you for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That you would study the special teams penalty playbook? Like, oh, you know what? If you have your foot out of bounds and then you touch the ball,
right.
It's a penalty.
Yep, it is.
I know it's 5 yards, okay? I know it's 5 yards.
It's game of inches.
But it's all about the trend. Like, you didn't learn anything? Why?
Because you're Jarrett Bush.
And, you know, the kids had some good plays this year.
On special teams, yeah, he has. He has. He even had a few from scrimmage earlier in the year.
The end of the day, we lost this game on special teams. Like, there's no really other way around it. We were right there with the Atlanta Falcons on defense.
Right.
We were getting gnashed by Michael Turner, but they weren't really, you know, they won by 3 points. Okay, the offense did its job, came back, and where was special teams getting penalties with Jarrett Bush?
Wait a second. Now Brian says on the live blog, okay, if that's the biggest mistake Jarrett Bush makes all year, that's pretty good. That's not Corey's point.
No,
Corey's point is It's a trend. It's the same stuff.
I just don't know. How could you not?
It's the total breakdown in knowing what the hell you're supposed to be doing out there.
It's such a stupid penalty. You know, it's just dumb. It's just like, are you dumb? Are you dumb? Because I don't think you are.
Oh, dear.
But I don't think you study enough, and I don't think you take your job seriously enough.
It's a possibility.
Because, come on. Next topic.
Oh, gladly. Let's call Talish.
Max Ginsburg's like, are we done with that yet?
Yes, we're done. We're done. Oh, Brian, you know what I mean. A trend. It's something that happens over and over again. He keeps being stupid. Good Lord. So easy to sit behind your computer and pick apart what everyone says while they're talking live for an hour and a half. People.
I actually thought I was going to get out of this week.
No! See?
You can't get out.
Week after week after week.
You can't.
Talish pouts and cries about not being called. Now we start making it a regular thing. 3 weeks into it, he's ready to bail.
I just do it
Three
for the fans. Always...
weeks into it, ready to Everybody, bail.
I'm just saying, it's been a long day. I'm tired.
Oh, has it been a long day, Alex?
Oh, way.
Has it been a long day?
The violins are playing for Packers Lounge right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm happy you called. I'm always happy to
it's
talk to
you. It's always good
right?
to talk to you, Alex. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right.
Doing all right.
I'll be sad that transplants is gone for a while.
You'll be happy because we won't be calling you. Because clearly, you have better things to do.
Clearly.
All right. So, what was your take on the loss to the Falcons?
You know, all along, and I said this somewhere. I don't quite remember where, but I never felt good about the game. I mean, you can't. I, of course, I'm going to predict a blowout on Packer transplant, so yeah, I don't have to deal with the wrath of Banky.
I think I'm pretty sure Banky predicted the same thing, so I think you're all right.
Yeah, everybody on the live.
I was nervous.
Okay, I got to say this.
Yeah,
well, I'm not going to say
that
it.
That was funny.
I'm not going to say it. Go ahead.
Everybody on the live blog says we need a violin for you, Talish.
Oh, come on. Just one of those. I mean, no, I didn't feel good about it. I think we actually played, enough where I wasn't really that upset about it. I played well enough against a great team or what I consider to be, you know, the cream of the crop in the NFC. You know, so I was happy to see that and that we were competitive. We've been much more upset to lose by 17, 20 points and really look disgusting. But it's a game, even though it was a loss, it really didn't bother me that bad. And, you know, all along I kind of figured it could go that way one way or another, hopes aside. So that's my take.
There you
all
go.
Right, I'll take that. And what is your take on the matchup with the 49ers?
I'm with Brian. I think we get it done, but I think it's going to be sloppy. For some reason, I think we're going to go in there and it's going to be closer than everyone thinks, and we're going to have a lot of yelling, a la the Detroit game earlier this season. That's how I feel.
Okay.
You know, we get it done, but it's not pretty.
So then, are you going to say that they're an average team after the game?
Come on, I do it every week. The average team.
Hey, I didn't. I could have said, are you going to say the season's over? Because that has been the MO, but now I'm trying to stick with the truth here, is what you said, is they're an average team. So I'm getting better.
The season is definitely more in peril than it was in the last week. You can't deny that.
I totally agree with that. But I totally disagree that it's going to be a tough game. I think the Packers are going to roll over the 49ers.
Yeah.
I hope they do. I hope they do.
I know. And see, we've switched roles now. I'm usually the one saying I hope they do, but I don't think they will. And this week, I'm calling it. The Packers in a blowout. You heard it here second.
Does that mean that this week I have to Twitter like every 5 seconds and only say nice things to people?
That sounds good to me. Hey, that'll work. If you think you can handle it. I know you're a busy guy.
I'm not. By the way, I have something I do want to talk about because I'm sure you didn't listen to my radio show. Am I correct?
I didn't, but I'm really happy that you did one.
He
always does.
Are.
He always is really good at the first three.
Yeah.
It's number four, five,
yeah,
and
six. Yeah, yeah. It's the continuation of the dedication to a long-term goal.
Yes.
Kind of it
falls,
actually
falls
sucked,
off the wayside.
It actually sucked, but one of the main points of the show was I'm sitting around one day reading all these awesome Packer articles that are coming up on my Twitter stream, and all of a sudden I see new blog post, Cheesehead TV. Packers are going to – or NFL teams are going to target Sam Shields by Aaron Nagler. Come on. I mean, did it take you a couple hours to come up with that idea, or is that just, you know, something you've been thinking about for a while, that all the teams are sitting around going, well, there's Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, Sam Shields. Well, who should we go after? I mean, I thank you for clearing that up for me, because I just had no idea. And I just wanted to say that.
Alex.
He's really not bitter about it, though.
There's a moment in every day where I'm pulling video, and I see, hey, look, there's Sam Shields speaking in the backfield, getting burned. And he also had a bad game against Minnesota. So, yeah. And you know why Sam Shields didn't get picked on Sunday?
Enlighten me, but that's not my point.
Why didn't he get it?
But he didn't get picked on because, A, he played really well, but, B, because they ran most of their plays out of base, and that meant that there was a lot less Sam Shields on the field. When we see the return of some 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, they'll go after him. Now,
I agree teams are going to go after him, but I'm just saying that from a great mind of yourself, Aaron Nagler, Packers pundit, loved by Packer fans across the nation, you can't give me any better inside information than teams are going to target Sam Shields. Come on, of course they're going
to. No, okay, that's fine if you say that in preseason, in training camp, which everyone was. I didn't say it, did I? Point me to that article. Point me to that post. You can't do it. You cannot do it. Wait. Let me make my point here, Talish. Come on my show. Rip me. Allow me to retort.
Go ahead.
You can't find that. You can't find that. You know why? Because I thought the exact same as you. Because, of course they're not going to. They got Charles Woodson. They got Tremont Williams. Of course they're going to target the rookie. Oh, but wait. Did teams? No. Why? Because the kid played well. When didn't he play well? Last week. And I pointed it out. So, if you're a defensive coordinator, and this kid's been playing good all year, and then all of a sudden he has a bad game. I mean a bad game. Are you going to think, wait, just the week before, he had a huge interception against Dez Bryant.
That was a nice pick.
It was a great pick. Guy was playing lights out. Even on the touchdown he gave up to Dez Bryant, he was in perfect position. Kid's playing lights out. I don't write that post. I don't write that post all year. He has a bad game. Defense coordinators are going to start thinking, hey, rookie wall, here it comes. It just so happens we ran up against a team that doesn't run 3-4 wide, but don't think they won't. I made that post when it was appropriate, unlike the idiots in the preseason who were all saying the stuff because you did exactly what you just said.
Holly said it was Miles Austin.
Oh, I got to get a Skype camera one of these days.
Yeah,
you could see the look on my face right now.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. We would show it right now if you had a Skype camera.
Corey keeps telling you.
I'll work on that, brother. I've got Skype camera, all that good stuff. You know, you never asked me to.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Don't. We're calling Holly.
Call
we don't want to talk to you
anymore.
Dallas,
we love you.
See you later. Visit my tab, everybody.
Visit my tab.
Oh, goodness.
Hopefully this interview will go better than that one.
I doubt it.
Maybe she'll answer. She might not answer after that interview.
I doubt she will.
I can't do that.
Hopefully she'll rip on me, too. That'll be great.
Why are you calling me?
Because everyone told us to. How are you tonight, Holly?
I'm not too bad.
Yeah? I guess that's much truthier than Caravu's fantastic. So I'll take that. That's good. Let me ask you this, Holly. Miss Opposition Research. What are you thinking about the 49ers here? Are they they rolled over the Cardinals. The Cardinals are pretty freaking terrible.
Yes, they are.
Do we get Singletary fired? Do you think that's going to happen?
That's a good question.
No. I really wish that we would, but I don't see that we'll get him fired.
Wait,
it's a little late.
Do you really wish we would? What do you have against Mike Singletary?
Nothing. I like the trend.
All right. Okay, I can.
Yeah, three in a year. That's nice.
I understand that.
But, I mean, Ipati and Anthony Davis, the rookies on San Francisco's offensive line, played really well on Monday night. And they were doing really well in run blocking and getting big holes for Brian Westbrook. But you got to remember that the guys on Arizona's defensive line are little. Darnell Dockett was out of the game for most snaps. So you put Raji Pickett and, you know, Howard Green on that line, and they're not going to be those holes. So that forces the ball back into Smith, which Smith? Troy?
Maybe Troy.
Alex?
Yeah.
Whoever?
You don't think Troy Smith's going to let him up?
I think if somebody gets open over the middle, I'm worried, but I'm always worried when somebody gets open over the middle. So,
you and all of Packer fandom.
It tends to
no
happen
doubt.
A lot.
Well, it's just that's the nature of the zone.
Nature, yeah.
So that's what we're going to have them. So, Holly, I heard you were called by the Green Bay Press Gazette as
uh-oh.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I blamed it all on you.
Oh, don't do that. No need for that. But you are a notable Packer blogger in your own right. If anyone doesn't know, Holly writes for BrentFarve.com as well.
Yes.
As contributing here at The Other 31. You should definitely check out her stuff there. It is fantastic. And that whole blog is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a really interesting setup that they had there, the way that they put it together. They were like, there's a Wisconsin lifestyle. We should write about that. And when I told them, I haven't lived in Wisconsin since I was 10, they were like, well, that's okay.
We don't.
It doesn't matter.
We need good content. Let's come right for our blog.
Exactly.
Those guys are smart, though. I mean, if I had a t-shirt company in Madison, Wisconsin, okay, and I wanted somebody to write on my blog, I mean, I'd choose Holly.
absolutely. So, Holly, prediction time. What's going to happen Sunday? What's the score?
Ooh. I agree that there's going to be a lot of yelling. I think that there may be it may get pretty chippy because San Francisco will come in there thinking they're all, you know, big stuff, and the Packers will be, you know, notably upset. But I do think the Packers win. I don't think it's as close as last year. I'd say at least a 10-point swing. Going upwards of 2 touchdowns. So, 31-14.
Nice.
There
I
you
like
go.
It.
And Holly, I do have to give you mad. I'm talking Hugh MAD props for calling the Atlanta loss before the season began. We had you on this show, and you called it. You picked it as one of the Packer losses. So, kudos.
Oh, well, thanks.
I know you hate to be right about a Packer loss. But you said it at the time. You said that it's going to be a really tough game. It's a really tough place to play. And you said it. And you picked it. And congratulations.
Well, here's one thing about Atlanta. They lost last year. They went 8-8, I think. Or they were 9-7.
With a ton of injuries.
They had 9 starters who missed 45 games total. And if you consider that the Packers, if you only count the guys that are on injured reserve, have already missed over 35 games.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to miss another 35 games before the season is over.
Hollow.
To have the kind of resurgence that the 2010 Cardinals have had, I'm hopeful for next year.
All right. You mean the Falcons?
Being
the Falcons. You said Cardinals. I think
big
you meant
understatement.
Falcons. Got it. All right. Yep. I got to agree there. I think next year we come back. It's kind of like we get 2 draft classes next year.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's hope, anyway. All right, Holly Phelps, legendary Packer blogger, in the real sense of the word, JC. Holly, thanks a lot for coming on tonight.
Holly.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Holly Phelps, Packer blogger extraordinaire, author of Opposition Research. You can read it right here at Cheesehead TV every Wednesday or Thursday.
Sometimes you just have to call the team. No, it's the team, though.
It's like assembling Voltron.
It's calling the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Get them all together.
Yeah, it's like everybody brings
put
their
together
ring.
To make the robot. We got all the lions. We put them together.
Exactly.
We make some Voltron.
Yeah.
I like it. Does that mean we have to call somebody else?
We have to call Jamie.
Is she on Skype?
I think she is.
Do you have her there?
Uh-oh. Watch this.
Oh, no.
Because that would just come full circle. That would be the whole Cheesehead team.
And then I think we should call every single person we've ever had on Packer Transplants who plays for the Packers.
We're like Captain Planet, Max says.
That works. I like that.
She's not going to answer, though.
Of course not. I tweeted out her cool setup that she put. She posted on the live blog a couple weeks ago. Hello?
Hello?
Everyone
Jamie.
Sounds so annoyed when we call.
She's like, hello?
Hang on, I have to turn down my...
Yes, like, yes, you do.
She's like, I have to turn down my... I'm watching this.
You guys are annoying.
Hello? Everybody's annoyed we're calling.
I know,
tonight.
That's what I mean.
It's very weird.
Just, they don't like it when
no,
we call.
No, I'm just surprised someone's calling me.
How are you tonight, Jamie?
I am good. I'm good. Sorry, I had to go turn down the speakers, and they're on the other side of the room in my crazy transplant setup.
I was going to say, I tweeted out earlier the setup you have. That's craziness. It's mad craziness. I'm impressed, though. You know, I can't even watch a show like that. I watch it on like a little, you know, little laptop at home. after the game.
CHTV reunion show, they're calling this.
Yeah, it works. It works. So, Jamie, I think this is the first time I've ever spoken to you.
Yes.
I have to say you do just fantastic stuff, both from your blog, your original blog, and then now on Packers Lounge.
Oh yeah.
Everyone should check out Jamie on Packers Lounge. It's awesome.
Yes, check me out. I'm cool.
But talk to me a little bit. I wanted to say, what was it like when you won the tickets from Ryan Grant last year for the Cleveland game? How surreal was it? Take us through that. I know you put a great blog post up about it, but I thought that'd be a great story for people to hear.
That's got to be one of like the top five moments of my life, because I was working my butt off that night trying to find those answers. And it took like almost 25 minutes. And I was surprised that nobody else had come up with the answer. I was searching. I ended up getting the answer, I think, because I read a speech that one of the Notre Dame coaches gave as he was leaving and said, and I thank all of my coaching staff. And then he listed them. And I mean, it took a very big amount of nerd in me to find all the answers. And then when he tweeted that I won, I was home alone screaming, jumping up and down. I saved that, like, I have all my tweets into my phone, and I had that on my phone until I switched phones. I had it for over a year. That was like the happiest moment of my life, jumping up and down. And then nobody would make the drive up to Cleveland with me. Nobody.
That's just
I was
sad.
So pissed, so I had to go all by myself.
Wait a second, forgive me for prying, but don't you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I do.
So he wouldn't come up? You wouldn't come up to Cleveland?
He
with
doesn't
you?
Hang out with her during the game either.
That's just wrong.
It's a 4-hour drive. No one else was ecstatic to get up really early in the morning and drive all the way to Cleveland to go see the Browns play the Packers and then drive all the way back.
Gotcha.
So you went by yourself to watch the Packers annihilate the Cleveland Browns.
Yes. The best part of my day was I stopped at a gas station like halfway up, and there was other Packer fans there, and they saw me in my Rogers jersey and like called me over to their car to talk, and they're like, we should meet up at the game. And I had no idea where my seats were. And so I was like, well, I don't know. I got my tickets from Ryan Grant, so I can't really.
Holla!
I can't meet up with you.
Boom!
I can't meet
How
you.
How awesome
not,
is that?
You're not in my circle.
Sorry, I got my tickets from Ryan Grant, and you're at a gas station. I'll talk to you later. So did you just pick him up at will call?
Yes. I still have the envelope. It said, you know, from Ryan Grant to Jamie George, and there's three of them in there. I still have all three.
Nice.
That's
the
awesome.
Funny thing is now, I mean, can you imagine that happening to her now if she won the contest? Like, everybody on Twitter would be like, I'll come. You know what I mean? Like, I'll go. I'll take that ticket.
Kyle just tweeted it. If I had known her then, I would have been there.
I mean,
oh, you would have beaten them back. I know Grant tweeted you afterwards, and like I wrote a quick post about it. Have you had any other back and forth with Ryan since that game? And what's great is that he had a huge game that year, that day.
Yeah, I know. That's my one and only Ryan Grant connection. But I mean, it was a great game to go to. Like,
because it kicked their ass.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the number of times I heard Derek Anderson pass incomplete.
Man. 31-3, Holly says.
I like that.
And I sat by the cone heads with the G's on them. Oh, like it man. Was it man. Was awesome.
So what are you doing for the game on Sunday?
I'm moderating the blog.
That's my girl
right there.
There you go.
That's I have a whole little station set up in my living room with like the chair and then the two tables and then my foot rests. Yeah. It doesn't move.
That's so great.
You know, we got a lot of trolls in the Game Day Live blog, so Jamie and I were working hard getting them trolls out of there. The Timmies of the world.
The Timmies of the world, no doubt. And what's your take on the 49er game? The Packers in a blowout, or are you one of those they could be close, or 49ers win? Where are you?
Well, definitely not 49ers win. I'm not a blowout person. I would say I'm a little bit more like Holly, upwards of 10 points. I probably wouldn't say it would be more than 17 points. So I would probably go 31-21 or 31-17. I don't think it'll be a hard game. I just don't think we're going to go out and crush them like we did Dallas.
All right. I buy that.
You would like to.
Definitely. All right. Thank you, Jamie. We'll see you around the blog, and thanks for all the hard work you do on the Game Day Live blog.
Thanks for calling.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jamie.
That's Jamie from Packers Lounge. Check her stuff out.
Speaking of Packers bloggers in the blogosphere, it's time.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere. Perfectly timed.
Sorry.
Cough there, Corey.
Oh, man.
Everybody on our live blog this week is Patrick from PackerShow.com.
PackerShow.com on the live blog.
You can check out their this podcast. They have a great show. It's downloadable on iTunes. You can also check out PackerShow.com, obviously. Patrick's been on the live blog tonight.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us, Patrick. It's great stuff over there. Check it out. Most assuredly. And, you know, that's...
We're wrapping it up.
That's pretty much it.
We'll see you back on January 4th.
January 4th. Is it 4th or 5th? It's 4th.
It's 4th.
The 4th. After,
Tuesday.
After the Bears game.
After we beat the Bears and we go to the playoffs. Oops.
That's some bold planning right there.
I said that and the camera went out. How crazy is that?
How much do we not want it to be an omen?
Oh, but I'm sorry. After we beat the Bears and then play in the playoffs at Lambeau where I'm going. Yeah, holla.
All right, big thanks to our special guest Brett Goode as well as Patrick from PackerShow.com for joining us on the live blog. Speaking of the live blog, thanks as always to Brian Caravu and Alex Talish along with Jamie and Holly and all our crew here at Cheesehead TV and all of you for joining us both on the live blog and watching on the site and listening to it on iTunes and finding us various other ways. Thank you so much. You are what makes this the most unique Packer fan experience on the internet. We will see you in a couple weeks. Thank you so much. Take care. Go Pack.